One of the tremendous lekachim, what we learn from this second perek, really lies in the first pasuk. It's an unbelievable arichas and boyaz and rus and the chsodim that were flying back and forth. In the past, we discussed that it's clear that boyaz saw something very unique in rus. In fact, last year we went into the Marsha, fascinating Marsha. But it starts by calling boyaz a ish gibor chayil. Ulanomi moida li isho ish gibor chayil. Right? Gibor chayil seems to be underrating boyaz. Right? Boyaz. Korlado. Imagine somebody called Chaim Knievsky a gibor chayil. That's what you call a prime. Could be stark. That's what you call a prime. But Moshe, I knew Moshe, mamish, Moshe. In an arm wrestle, he could put you down in a 2 minutes. Moshe, he's talking about Moshe's strength. Azay ba'azay fangton ulno mi moida li isho ish gibo chayo. So if you look in the Malbim by us, the Malbim learns that Chayil is everything. Chayil doesn't mean he's just a strong man. He says Alamailus, all the Milus. The Malbim says like this, that the name Chayil Batoyra Koilel Kol Amidos Teves Shoyul Boyas Nedivus Sinas Betza Al the Milus. Everything. The Rekech goes along the same approach also. So I wonder why we use a Loshon Chayil. Why Taka? The Malbim is saying, Boyaz had all the Milas. Boyaz was Mutter, all the Milas. He was the Zayde from Malchus Beis David. Right? He had all the Milas. Why is that captured in the word Chayil? That's number one. When you go on, clearly it's an introduction to what happens in this perek. So you see that he's a big Baal Chesed. Ruth tells Naomi she's going to go into the fields and check. Alakhtano. Rabbi Yankov always used to say, it's unbelievable, Musa Haskell. Ruth Amoyavio. She was a Bas Malochim. She wasn't used to being a Shnora. You're talking about a Bas Malochim. Right, she's a princess. She's not to go schnorr in fields. But she tells Naomi, please let me go. Valakto b'shibolim. So Biankev said, what's up, Pshat? He brought riots to this. But that Rus was looking at it like, what's it going to be for her shvigar to go around and collect? People know her here. By me, at least I'm a stranger. For me to collect, shine. So even though Be'etzem Rus was less in the parish of collecting than Naomi, Naomi already let the city know, Ani Malei Olachti V'reikam HaShivani Hashem, Al Tikren Eleni Naomi, Kren Eli Moro. Right? It's pretty depressing. Don't call me Naomi, call me Moro. But still Rus felt, and Naomi agreed. But it was more than that. Vatelech vatovei vatalake besod achri akoytzli. Vayikem mikra chalkas asod leboyas. Vayoyim eboyas lenari hanitzov akoytzli lemiat nara azoyis. And that's how the whole shidduch started. Who's this girl? Vayoyim nara mavia shovim nomi misdeimayev. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Kofid Gimel, the Gemara asked $1 million question. Boyaz is asking about the Freund. Boyaz, the God of Lador, he's going into the field. Who's that? What's the hack? Retuch Boyaz. Chidarka shel Boyaz. It's a very difficult Gemara, you should know. Very, very difficult Gemara. Even after the Torah to the Gemara, even after we have the Marsha, last year I made a whole binyan out of the Marsha, maybe some of you remember. Because the Gemara says, what did he see? The Gemara says he saw Tznius Yisrael, he saw something very special. One of the things the Gemara says, we're learning now Leket in the Sugya of Yerushalayim Midas. He saw Shnayim Lakoto, Shloi Shaloi Lakoto. If the guy cutting the wheat dropped two, she took it. If he dropped three stalks, she didn't take it. That's takar halacha. The halacha is leket. Shtayim is leket, and three is not leket. Okay, so the obvious question is: so what was so special about her? So she knew the halacha. I mean, none of the other girls knew the halacha. None of the other girls knew the halacha. Only she knew. All the other girls were taking three lekets. It's a big pella. Some want to learn. It's taka machloikis beshame and beshil. Machloikis beshame and beshil. Beshame all three is leket. Four is not. Beshil all two is leket. So she did like Basil. I'll tell me, so what's the Chiddush? You could say that at that point, this is way before Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. At that point, it wasn't yet established what the halacha was. That was the Chiddush. It still doesn't tell us why he was so blown away by her. So last year, I shared with the Olam a pshat. It's a good chap. But it's not yet a mahalach, it's a pshat, it's a chap. The chap was that the Marsha in Masechet Shabbos says an idea that could be Rus qualified to take three, even according to Beis Hillel. Why? Beis Shammai learned from a pasuk. Lager, layosoim, v'la'almona. From those three psukim, Beis Shammai, from those three words, Beis Shammai learned three is leket. So the Marsha says it could be that Beis Hillel agreed to Beis Shammai. If you find somebody who's a ger, yosem, and almona, right? And only a ger and almona, takare could have it. Rus was that. She was a geris. She was aniyah and she was almona. She had alamailas. So she takare qualified. You're the Marsha. That's the Marsha. So what's the kash I have on the Marsha? I said, so why? It says, Dover Chochma Ra. I saw a big Chochma. It's not Chochma. It sounds like she's a fool. If she's a real Chochma, she would know she does qualify. The Marsha is now making Rus into Tippish. Either it's Pashit what she did, or she's a Tippish. And the Gemara calls a Chochma. The pshat I gave is like this. When she was collecting, who was she thinking about? Herself or her shviger? So if she was thinking about herself, she qualified for three. But she was thinking only for her shviger. Her shviger doesn't qualify. And Boya saw she's only taking two. Even though she qualifies, her shviger qualifies. Out herself, she qualifies for three. Teretz says, her das was, whatever I'm collecting here, mainly I'm giving my shviger. I'm only thinking about my shviger. I can't collect what I qualify for. It's not for me. It's mainly for her. Maybe I'll take a stalk. It's mainly for her. So according to the Marsha, he knew who she was. Taka knew who she was. He was verifying it, but he had an assumption who this was. And Taka, when he converses with Rus, you see he had her whole resume. As soon as he's talking to her. Anyway, he says, "Who got Lee? You know, this is I know about you." The question goes back to the beginning. Why is he getting involved here, Bechlal? It's a woman coming, going around the field. Why is he getting involved here, Bechlal? You're telling me, once he was involved, and once he saw, now he goes, blah, 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 blah. Why? Why did he get a tifarangaton in the sugi here? What happened? There's a more dikke gemorah in Avodah Zarah. You know, Aaron, you're going to get a gemorah in Avodah Zarah. There's a more dikke gemorah in Avodah Zarah, where the gemorah talks about a discussion between two tanoim, and the question of the gemorah is, Ma ani l'chai o'ilu mabo? Am I able to? I have a chelik in o'ilu mabo? And the gemorah says that the following question was asked. The question was, Klum ma'ase bo liyadcha. Literally means, did you ever have a good mitzvah? Did you do anything good? Klum ma'ase bo liyadcha. Amaloi, Moishel Purim nischafli b'moishel stalker. I'm a gabbite stalker. Once I had poor money, my own poor money, it got mixed up with the tzedakah money. V'chalaktim l'aniyim. And I ended up giving it to the aniyim. So Rashi says, hinachtim l'sudas purim. I had money in my pocket. It ended up getting mixed up with tzedakah money. V'loy nifreisi me'aniki shel tzedakah. I was allowed to take my money back. He was a gabbai. So imagine you have a gabbai, he has $500 in his pocket that he's planning to use for his sudas purim, and he had another $500 in his pocket, stalker money. It ended up, it got mixed up. He gave the whole $1,000 to the aniyim. Halachically, once it became clear to him that the money got mixed up, he could have just taken from the stalker back $500. That's the halach. But Rashi says, V'loy nifreisi, I didn't take it back. On my way, if that's the case, mechelkecho yechelki umigerocho tehegeroli. If that's what you did, boy are you ben almaba. I should be with you. We're talking about the G'dayli Yoylam. He asked him, oh, do you have any mitzvahs? Maybe you did. What do you mean? He lived his whole life. He found this one thing where money got mixed up. Big deal. That's the biggest mitzvah that Hananya did. Right? And that was the end. Once he did that, he said, oh, you're all the way up there. You're tops. The Pshat in the Gemara is very simple. L'chera. The Pshat in the Gemara is like this. There are two ways to be an Eved Hashem. One way, you have a Shulchan Aruch. Whatever it says, I do. It's a code of Jewish law. Whatever it says in Shulchan Aruch, I do. Shulchan Aruch says, get up in the morning, I get up in the morning. Put on tefillin, I put on tefillin. Daven, daven. I do v'shtein Shulchan Aruch. That's one. It's pretty good. A lot of people don't do that. That's pretty good. There's another way. The other way is a person lives his life. Rabbi Yochum used to say, you live your life and you say, what does Hashem want from me? Every situation you're in, Rabbi Yochum used to say, was will the tate? What does my father want? What does Hashem want in this situation? Now it's Allah. Vos vil de tat. And I live my life according to that. That's different than saying, okay, whatever I got to do, I'll do. I have to do this, I'll do that. I'm supposed to daven, I'll daven. I have to eat a kizayis matzah, kizayis matzah. In every matzah in life, what does Hashem want? Rabbi Yochum said, that's a ben olam haba. That's a ben olam haba, a person who's living on a higher frequency. When the money of tzedakah got mixed up in his pocket with his own money, and he ended up giving it out. So if he takes out the code of Jewish law, takes out Shulchan Aruch, Halacha is you could be pareya yourself back. Mistakenly, you gave tzedakah money that belonged to you. But how did he live his life? So 1 second. Why did that happen to me? Why did it happen to me that punkt I ended up, mistake happened in my pocket and I gave out that money? Teibish to vil, I should give it. Dos vil de tate. I'm not looking what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I'm looking what Hashem wants of me. The fact that this happened, I ended up doing a mitzvah, Hashem orchestrated, that I ended up giving Aniyim extra money, Ratzon Hashem. There was a meisah with Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. Fascinating story. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer was sitting with his Talmidim. He was giving a shtickel shir. He looks out the window from his apartment, and he sees a yid walking up to the apartment. Looked like the Briskerov. So he called out. He said, "The Briskerov kumt." Briskerov was tremendously machshev Rebbe Zalman. In fact, the only person that the Briskerov was totally mevatel das to was Rebbe Zalman. The only remembers the bomb story, right? The bomb shelter. They wanted the Briskerov to go down to the bomb shelter. This is in 1948. The bombs were raining down in Yerushalayim. Briskerov stayed in his apartment on the couch, which he sat on, and he was learning Rambam. And his son, Rebero, said, "Tate, you have to go down to the bomb shelter." He's learning Rambam. So Rebero knew the only one that could change his father's mind is Rebbe Zalman. So he went on the street, which was very dangerous, to Rebbe Zalman. Rebbe Zalman was talking to Miklat. He was in the bomb shelter. He asked Rebbe Zalman, he said, "My father is on the couch." Rebbe Zalman goes, "He has to go down." He said, "Oh, but my father's not going to trust me. I need a letter from the..." So Rebbe Zalman wrote a letter to the Briskerov, a psak. "I'm paskening, you have to go downstairs." Rebero comes to his father, runs up the steps, runs into the apartment. His father's still on the couch learning Rambam. He gives his father the note. It says, "Rabbi Zalman Meltzer paskins, you have to go down." The Chovot ke paskins. I've no choice. He closes his Rambam. He walks out with his son out of the apartment. As they walk out, a bomb hits the building. Hits their apartment. Rebero looks at his father. He says, "Tate, Yomi Yashakayach." His father looks at him and goes, "Yashakayach! You owe me a couch! As long as I was sitting there, Einoid Mulvado, no bombs came. Now I need to get a new couch." The Briskerov had tremendous reverence for Mrs. Zalman. So Mrs. Zalman saw the Briskerov. He had tremendous derechas Briskerov. So he told the Talmidim, "Go to the door, get him. Open the door for the Briskerov." They run to the door, they open the door. Turns out, it's a Meshulach. Who rather looked like the Briskerov. From the distance, he looked like the Briskerov. Anyway, Rebbe Zalman takes him in. He gave the Archeres to everybody, but this person he treated like the God Lador. The guy needed a letter, he started writing a letter, and he kept on asking him, "Is it good, is it good?" He treated the guy like... So after the Yid left, the Schnorrer left, the Talmidim asked Rebbe Zalman, "Who is this Eliyahu HaNavi? Who is this guy?" He said, "Nah, Narish Eliyahu HaNavi." He says, "It appeared to me when he was walking up, Adosid the Briskerov. Why did Hashem make it look like the Briskerov?" Dafichob Meir Derecheretz Fein. That's mamish. Vos vil de tate. What does Hashem want? The fact that's the way it looked to me. And that's what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is saying. That's pshat in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So I want to tell you, that's a Gibor Chayil. A Gibor Chayil, who has control over everything? Any person lives selfishly and doesn't think, "What does Hashem want from me?" Every day is a challenge. You have nisyonis every day. With your money, with your time. Everything is a nisyon. Everything's a nisyon. But when a person lives his life and says, what does Hashem want? All of a sudden it becomes very clear. A lot of times I'm making shalom with different people at Dintara. And sometimes after the whole thing I say, what do you think Hashem wants? And then and usually they admit, yeah, Hashem doesn't want this machlekes. No chalamaisis. Right? That's why Boaz, when we want a taicha Boaz, how is he able to overcome all his nisyonos? Because he was a gibor chayil. Right? He was a gibor chayil. He had his whole thing was to serve Hashem. What does Hashem want? He was able to overcome all. He was a soldier. He had the strength to overcome all his nisyonos. Momoinoi, chachmasai, everything we're talking was all because of that. So I want to tell you a pshat. Some reason Hashem made that boy has noticed this woman. When he noticed this woman, he said, Vazvil the Tate. Why? Must be there's a big reason. And he started sniffing. And then it became clear. And from there, Malchus Beis David came. So now when we take a step back, we could say, wow, how does Malchus Beis David happen? How does it evolve? It evolves by somebody saying, what does Hashem want from me? That's how the whole Malchus Beis David came about. Because Boaz lived his life by saying, what does Hashem want? And if something happens, nothing just happens. There's something here. What's in it? And then he got into. Then you could say whatever pshat you want. That's sneers and the chokhmah, bishamah, bishil, all the pshatim. But they only come into effect after we understand that that's the way Boaz lived his life. That when something happened, he said, what does Hashem want from me? Okay, we have to start Hilchos Chag HaShavuos. So we'll start with just a few minutes now. It's late already. Chayv to shut the mic. Ki yadua.